Well, I definitely want to start with kind of the origins of the story. Did it start with the idea of losing a child, or did it start with, you know, Silicon Valley and the area? Where did this kind of come from, story-wise?
I think it started more with Silicon Valley and the area. Since I've lived here for about 20 years, over 20 years, and I've been kind of seeing the progression of the stress here and the workaholism and the hyper-competitiveness and so on. So the kind of the culture depicted started with this idea. From a personal point of view, right before I started writing the script, my brother actually passed away, and he suffered from mental health issues most of his life. And so that whole concept of, you know, mental health and the stigma associated and the shame and the lack of understanding, lack of communication, and all of those things that went into the story, they kind of stem from that experience, you know, that of watching his life and what happened to him and being involved with that, obviously.
Was it when you decided to create the family, was there inspiration on the fact that you were going to do a daughter, or what made you go with a daughter, losing a daughter, rather than maybe like a son or something different?
That's a very good question. I raised two daughters, and thankfully, thank God, they don't suffer from any of these issues, but I think I just understood the daughter dynamic more. So that's why I depicted the daughter in the movie.
Have your daughter?
Partly, you know, because I'm a woman, it's a little easier for me to understand that point of view, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I've got to ask your DP, Paul Norden. He's also a Silicon Valley guy himself. Is that where your connection is with Paul? I'd love to know how y'all got connected and started out, because I definitely feel you both are in that area. You know that world so well.
Yeah, Paul actually has a background similar to mine. He started out in high tech, and he worked for a long time, and then he moved into the arts. And there aren't that many DPs in the Bay Area that are really good. So, you know, I had a very finite pool to choose from. And I didn't want to shoot somewhere else because my daughter's still in high school. I would have to be away for long lengths of time. I didn't want to do that. So that's why I chose to stay and shoot it in the Bay Area and so on. And he also resonated with the story a lot. He really liked the story. He was very passionate and committed to the story. So... he had a brother who passed away by suicide.
Wow.
So he just, his brother died by suicide. And so he really liked the story. And I think that's what, you know, that's why we connected.
You know, to kind of stick with this, the working with Paul, I was kind of blown away by the movement, the tracking shots. I especially loved... how you guys, whenever you're in the party sequences, the bigger scenes, there's an amazing amount of movement with the camera. That's very bold for a first-time filmmaker. What ideas did you go in wanting to do for the look of the film? Because I think you capture a very fluid nature, but also a very intimate nature in this film. It's pretty amazing.
Thank you. You know, the thing with I told Paul is, in all my house scenes, I want to capture the loneliness, you know. For example, we have a scene where she's, you know, planting one little flower in this huge garden. And we did this dolly shot from far away where she showed her with this enormous house, you know, this tiny little person trying to plant one flower. You know? So it just made you feel very lonely, how lonely she is, you know. So that was one of the things I wanted to do, is really, in all the house scenes, you know, and party scene, we went for something, it was very artificial, right, because they're putting on a show, right, and I think we choreographed it, and we did this you know, very long tracking shots, just because we wanted to make it look like, you know, kind of staged and artificial, you know. So each different scene, we used a different method. Like, for example, when Neil and Rupa are fighting in the bedroom, we used all handheld. So because we wanted it to look kind of a little bit, we wanted it to look a little nauseating. I don't know how else to put it. Like wherever there's a lot of movement, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we did the same with when Chris and Neil are fighting, and when he goes with the gun, we used all handheld for that because we wanted it again to look shaky and not so stable. So we used different techniques for different scenes, depending on what we wanted, the look we wanted. I had a very kind of specific idea of what I wanted. And Paul was just very brilliant at executing everything. So,
well, let's talk about this wonderful cast. I mean, I think Ollie obviously carries a large part of the film, but as you said earlier, being a female writer-director, it's obvious that the women's roles, Rupi, the two daughters, it's much more fleshed out than I anticipated, and some amazing performance and very emotional performances. Can you talk about getting this cast and how it all came together?
You know, the casting was the hard, really, really difficult part of my job because I started out trying to cast Neil. That was where I started. And everyone else followed afterwards. And I wanted someone in their mid-40s with a, you know, Asian. And basically, you know, a lot of the Hollywood LA actors, they've been typecast into kind of comedic roles. You know, they don't do much drama. And I just didn't feel like a comedic character person could carry this role. It was such a heavy role, you know. Even if the person is talented, I think they wouldn't be convincing because you've seen them in all these other roles which are kind of silly, right? So I just didn't like any of the people that were presented to me. So I started looking abroad and, this actor I found, I said, we sent him, the casting director, Lauren Harrell, sent him some sides, and he taped and he sent it back to me, and I was just blown away by the audition. He was so good, you know, and he was just so much better than anyone else. So I said, okay, this is it, this is the guy, you know. So I went with Ali Khan, who lives in Pakistan, actually. And then after that, I started looking for the actress. And again, I didn't find anyone local that I felt was could carry it. The problem with this script and this movie that I felt was it could very easily be play out like a Spanish soap opera, you know, if it's not the right actors, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Very melodramatic or, you know, artificial, and I just didn't want that. I wanted it to feel very real. And so I found Suchitra through an Indian casting agent. I found her name through somebody, and I called, contacted her, and she sent me a bunch of different, you know, sides. Different audition tapes from the sides we sent her, and she, you know, Suchitra was just amazing in the audition as well. So I cast both of them, and ironically, unbeknownst to me, they knew each other. They knew each other for a long time. They knew each other for like 25 years or something.
Wow.
And so that chemistry just came across because they knew each other so well. And when they came here, so, you know, I'm on a low budget, right? So I actually have a little guest house in my house, so Ali stayed there, and Suchitra came from India, and she said, you know, I really don't want to, we had, you know, rented a room for her, an apartment for her and everything. She said, no, I don't want to stay there, I just want to stay in your house. So she ended up staying in my house. So we actually spent a lot of time rehearsing. I mean, because it was such a tight shoot, it was 21 days. And we just, you know, our budget is so restricted. So we basically would shoot all day, come home, and rehearse for the next day. They were here for only, you know, a certain duration. So we had to do it in that time period. So we had the benefit. The main actors and I had a lot of benefit of rehearsal, which the other actors really didn't. Like J.T. Austin just flew in, did his thing, and left, you know. And we had very little rehearsal. In between takes, we'd do rehearsals, you know, but... So it was, in a way, you know, they had a little bit more of an advantage in that sense, but they also had much harder roles. So, you know, so So anyway, so yeah, that was one of the biggest things. And Jake, so Lauren Harrell, who's the casting agent, helped me to find all of the other actors. So it's Christopher Allen, Jake T. Austin, Barry Corbin. She really worked hard on getting them. And the rest of them, we basically put out a casting call. We got a bunch of tapes. I must have viewed 1,000 tapes. I'm not kidding. It was crazy. I mean, I went through so many tapes, and I just cast, you know, the family, and then started casting the extras and the smaller parts. That was how it went.
Since you had to look abroad for finding, you know, the main two leads, I've got to ask you. You've been able to take this film and showcase it abroad. You've been able to take it to India and show it in India. And I'm curious how the reactions of non-Silicon Valley people have thought about the film, you know, just their response to it.
Yeah, that's a great question. I was actually a little nervous about it because it shows, you know, I mean, without giving away, I mean, please don't include this in the interview, but it shows a woman having an affair. So it shows some controversial things, but I wondered how it played there, you know? It actually, I think, stylistically, it's a little different than what they're used to. You know, they're used to these Bollywood movies with singing and dancing and melodrama, and the acting style is different. And in fact, that's one of the challenges I faced when directing Ali. Because sometimes he would just slip into that acting style where you just perform, you know, like you're... And I said, look, I don't want you to perform. I want you to bring to the table what you know about marriage and relationships and love and, you know, whatever else, bitterness and anger and, you know, I don't want it to be, like, artificial. So that was one of the issues I faced. Sujata was actually really natural that way. Like, she just started off and she just had this real knack for being very real and natural, even though she can do the other style as well. But anyway, so they're used to more of that. So I think that was more of a disconnect than the actual content. I think they could relate to the, on a human level, to the story, because it's a problem which people are facing, children and parents are facing everywhere, I think. This whole issue of hyper-competitiveness and using your children as show ponies and, you know, putting so much pressure on them. And their struggles. I think a lot of kids, like, they say 35% of college students now either have anxiety or depression. Mm. You know? And I don't think that was true when I was there in college. So I think it's an issue they face there. And they understood the story and they understood the characters. I think the more the style was something that took getting used to for them. But the movie was well-received by audiences.
I was blown away by one of the key elements I love that we get to see in Maya's character is her love of John Steinbeck. And you bring in his story, The Pearl, into the film. Can you talk to me about pulling something like Steinbeck into it, how that... helped give us so much about Maya, but I was just curious, you know, what made you go with that specific story? I think there's obviously a connection, and just what it meant to you to be able to have something that seems connecting on a whole nother level for people who are obviously readers of Steinbeck.
I love Steinbeck. I mean, it's a personal, yeah. And originally I was thinking of Mice and Men, one of the most moving stories that I've seen it in the theater, and I've read it many times. But, and you know, she's a little bit like Lenny, like someone who's so good-natured but doesn't quite fit in the world, you know? So that was where I started, and then it came, that whole pearl necklace artifact came into my mind, and then I thought, oh, the pearl, you know, because, you know, the central theme of the pearl is so related to this story, you know? It's someone who's, like, chasing something, like money, which they think has the most value, and in the process, they lose the most valuable thing in their life, you know? Mm. And that's kind of the parallel of this story. And so I said, oh, my God, this fits so well, you know? So then I weaved that into the story. I mean, I didn't want to be too on the nose, so I was trying to be subtle about it, but that's how I weaved that story in. It's a beautiful story.
As far as showcasing the Bay Area and the Valley itself, you capture some iconic shots. I think of looking off into the ocean, but you also show us some kind of places you wouldn't expect or I wouldn't have thought you would go to. What was it like filming there? What visuals of showcasing were you trying to hit on the top of the head? But also, you know, how much fun was it, or how difficult was it filming there compared to, you know, LA, or where it's a little bit more, you know, like you said earlier, I mean, people just don't shoot in that area.
Yeah, actually, I think it was challenging because, I mean, I don't know how much of that was related to budget and how much was related to the Valley, but like for me to finding that house, I mean, I almost had a nervous breakdown because we looked so much for that house, And finally, a friend of mine let us use her house without charging us anything. It was amazing, you know, unbelievable. We were in the house for like 9 days, so it was, so that, you know, some of it was just the challenge of the budget and finding the right location. There were actually things I couldn't do. Like, I wanted to show more of the Silicon Valley buildings, like Google and et cetera, but we couldn't get permission, you know, for a lot of those things. But it was difficult. It's not something, for example, to find the conference room, you know, where they have the venture capital meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get a very high-end building, and I had to, like, jump through hoops. Again, some of it was budget, but finally there's a legal building called Wilson, Sonsini, Goodrich, and Rosati. And I knew someone in there, and they let us use it. So it was challenging to get permission to use buildings, and nobody wanted their name associated with it. We couldn't find a campus that would let us film on campus. We tried San Jose State, UCs. None of the UCs would let us because of the topic. They don't want to touch the topic. And the only place we could get was a community college where, like, you know, where Alicia and Neil are walking. That was actually a community college. That was the only place that would allow us to film. So, yeah, getting permissions was an issue.
With the mental health being something that you've been kind enough to share that affected your family, affected Paul's family, I'm sure it affected maybe some of the cast members as well. What did it mean when you showcased this film, the responses directly to the depression in the film? Can you give us any insight into, have you had any moments with people who've seen the film where it really touched them and you know, hit home? Because I think when I watched the film, I was blown away by how attached to Maya I got. And I'd love to know if anyone who's seen the film had a visceral experience watching it.
I would say, I mean, that was more the norm than the exception. People's reaction is, I mean, people were really affected by the movie. I mean, I found more people like that than who weren't, you know?
Mm.
And either they knew someone or knew someone who knew someone or something, you know, there was some connection to it. And I think it affected parents and young people in different ways. And young people, they could relate more to the younger characters and to the feelings and so on. And the parents, I think it kind of made them introspect, like one of the people who said, you know, it made me want to go home and hug my kids. Actually, several different people told me that. And it made them more value their children more, which is, if that's the effect, wow, I'm happy, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah, so.
Well, I've got to ask, you've now done your feature film debut. What is next? What are you hoping to accomplish? I mean, obviously right now I know you're in the throes of showing this to people, but have you thought to the next step in the next film or next project?
I have several different ideas I would love to be able to do. I think I would, obviously, this has been such a huge learning curve. There are a lot, many things I would do differently. From, you know, just from a business standpoint, it's so difficult to get traction. passion in this business, and you know, I think I would approach things differently from that point of view. Creatively, I mean, I just love it. If I given the chance, I would do it again in a heartbeat. I think the business end of it is very tough.
Wow. Well, I was blown away by the movie. I didn't go into it trying to read. I didn't watch the trailer. I wanted to go into it fresh, and I had no idea that it would be so emotional. So thank you for writing this. I was really, I'm glad I've been able to see the film, and thank you for the time in the chat.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Have a great rest of your day, and hopefully...